You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Brian Wolfmiller, Larry Rast, and Will Wheaton at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Early bird registration is $135. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago. It is now a household term, critical race theory. Maybe first put on the map nationally when President Trump several months back tried to expunge critical race theory from several federal government departments. He tried to stop the training that was being done there. And of course, there was a backlash. He was called a racist because, well, at least in the parlance of today, to oppose something like critical race theory, to have concerns or questions about it, is to be a racist yourself. But doesn't critical race theory actually increase racism rather than decrease it? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about critical race theory, Kevin McGarry. He's president of Every Black Life Matters, chairman of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of California, and author of the book Justly Justice. Kevin, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Last week, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced that critical race theory would have no place in Florida's public school system. He said students shouldn't be taught to hate their country and one another. Was he overstating the case?
No, he was. Actually being a patriot and a thoughtful leader in this regard. I mean, we saw that President Trump about 8 or 9 months ago came out and said the same thing at the federal level. A lot of people since that time have been looking into critical race theory and what are the primary underpinnings of it. And a lot of people have come to realize that it is an anti-American, anti-American history, anti-logic, reason, and prudence type of a mind frame. CRT is dangerous. It does promote racism and division as opposed to unification and interracial healing. And it just so happens that we need more interracial healing and more unity than we do more division. And CRT, at the end of the light at the end of the tunnel with CRT is destruction and division for all.
So in a nutshell, can you explain what critical race theory is?
Yeah, in a nutshell, I'll explain it in a very high level, 50,000 foot view, because there are so many preposterous and illogical aspects to it that I wouldn't want to get so far in the minutiae that your audience wouldn't be able to recognize it or understand it. So at the 50,000 foot level, what it is it is a mindset that sets the oppressor class against the oppressors. The oppression class, those people who are being oppressed, would be those who are all minorities. The oppressors are fundamentally those that are deemed white or who lack melanin. Doesn't matter what strata of white you are. Doesn't matter whether you live in the Appalachia and you're really surviving day to day. Doesn't matter. You are an oppressor and you are a racist and you are a supremacist. So that's fundamentally what CRT does, is it casts the oppressor class, which are whites, and it basically asserts that all whites are racist and oppressors, and then all minorities are put upon by whites. If you can hearken back to Marxism, what Marx and Engels started was the proletariat versus the bourgeoisie, and as opposed to using those sort of lofty distinctions today, they've basically minimized it so everybody can understand, and they've come up with the oppressors versus the oppressed. So all minorities are the oppressed class, and all whites are the oppressors. This is how they distinguish it. And this is why it's dangerous, because anybody who understands the mixed demographic that we have here in America, we know that melanin, or lack thereof, has nothing to do with your condition, so to speak, of where you are in America. We do still have laws, and we have fundamental tenets that allow us to be free and allow us to sort of chart our path to castigate an entire group of people just because they lack melanin. It's not only wrong, but it's destructive. And it's anti-civil rights. I mean, you know, just think, Dr. Martin Luther King said, look, you know, every man should be judged by strictly by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. Now, these folks are bringing back the old segregationist mindsets and thoughts and ideas, and they're pitting us against each other based upon the old precepts of color of skin. I mean, it's just sick.
So you mentioned the civil rights movement of the 20th century. It was aimed at racial equality and reconciliation. Does critical race theory have those goals?
No. Critical race theory is not about trying to reconcile anything. What it seeks to do, everybody's familiar with the term cancel culture. What it seeks to do, in essence, is to cancel whiteness. It does not seek reconciliation. It does not seek equality. What it seeks to do, at the very least, is level the playing field. This is the sort of vernacular that they would use. Level the playing field to the extent that whites have no power. They have no capacity to speak or stand up for themselves. Basically, if you're white, you're summarily dismissed. You're asked to get to the back of the class or back of the line. You're asked to be quiet. Because those who are oppressed, based on oppression points and intersectionality, have more standing to actually be heard, to be listened to. Their lived experiences are certainly much more valuable than that of a white, and therefore this is sort of how they justify being racist, in essence. That's what it is. It's all about dividing us. It is not about reconciliation or uniting us.
So is it fair to say, it may not be a stated goal, but certainly any kind of common sense way of approaching it, is it fair to say that critical race theory results in increased racism rather than a decrease in racism?
Oh, absolutely. There's a very well-known author. His name is Ibram X. Kendi. He wrote How to Be an Anti-Racist. One of his quotes is, "The only remedy to past discrimination is present discrimination. The only remedy to present discrimination is future discrimination." It actually does assert, critical race theory asserts, that we have the right and the privilege to fully discriminate and divide against the oppressors. Again, that would be, in their minds, the entire class of white race, people who have less melanin. And that's fundamentally how it's set up. It is all about division. It is all about racial tension. It is all about continuing to undermine a society that's supposed to be, you know, equal and have equal rights and privileges. Critical race theory is set to go against those fundamental tenets.
Where did it come from?
Well, it actually came from the Frankfurt School. So this is the ironic thing about it. So there were several people who left Hitler's Germany because, and even though they were Marxists and they agreed to a large degree with Hitler, Hitler was totalitarian and autocratic, and he went against even some of the people that supported his fundamental tenets. Hitler was a little bit too far autocratic for them. So they actually came to the United States. Jürgen Habermas, Theodor Adorno, Herbert Marcuse, and Max Horkheimer, and they started the Frankfurt School out of Columbia University here in the United States. And the Frankfurt School is what really started critical theory, and then it was critical legal theory, and then it, you know, again, looking at ways to divide in classes to basically assert guilt, harm, and shame on various aspects of these divisions. So there would be class conflict. This is fundamental Marxism. I mean, it's just anybody who understands Marx and Engels, they understand class conflict, and that was the fundamental tenet of Marxism. Then now we have critical queer theory. We have critical gender theory. We have all of these sort of identities that are part of this critical thinking, so to speak, although it's completely illogical. And the division is continuing by virtue of this sort of critical theory movement.
You mentioned a moment ago the author Zendi. Who are some of the popular advocates for critical race theory?
Most popular today, I think, would be Ibram X. Kendi, be Robin DiAngelo, which she wrote White Fragility. It would be any and all of the college professors that adhere to Marxist ideology. It would be, you know, your major political parties that really want to encourage and support critical theory and critical race theory throughout all of our federal agencies. It would actually be leaders of those federal three-letter agencies, and some within NASA, some within the other three-letter agencies, CIA, and some of the others apparently that are really supporting these. So they're the most fervent that are pushing these theories. Would also be school teachers. A lot of your public school systems are now pushing this to our children. We have major corporations. We have the NBA and NFL, and we have our major sports that are pushing this as well. So, I mean, it's seemingly pervasive. It is really catching, you know, we thought the momentum would sort of slow and cease years ago, and it's really caught a lot of wind beneath the wings of the whole movement, if you will, and it's actually accelerating through all aspects of life, including our major theological seminaries. We have most of our seminaries that are now teaching critical race theory to our theologians. People who are graduating with MDiv degrees are coming out and they're preaching this over the pulpits. I mean, there's no end, really, to where CRT is right now and where it's going and who's pushing it. I mean, it's being pushed almost in every aspect of life.
So how is CRT related to wokeism, identity politics, and ironically, anti-racism?
Yeah, so they're all part and parcel the same. Wokeism and cancel culture, you know, CRT, anti-racism, they're all, consider, if you will, you know, racism in general. And then you consider subcategories of racism that would include CRT. And then there's subcategories of CRT, which would include wokeism and anti-racist trainings and those types of things. They're all part of the same thing that really emanate from a sort of a Marxist mindset. And if anybody can understand what a Trojan horse is, you wheel a Trojan horse in. And the Trojan horse would be, in general, racism. And out from the Trojan horse, you get all of these subcategories or these parts of the Trojan horse that would include CRT, anti-racist sort of movements, and other aspects, wokeism, cancel culture. All of these are interrelated, but it's all part and parcel of a new sort of cultural Marxism that's being preached and being spread and actually gaining momentum in every aspect of life.
Kevin McGarry is our guest. We're talking about critical race theory. How is it reading, as he said before, American history and the history of Western civilization?
I think we've reached a point where it requires a lot more work and actual discernment than it used to.
Journalist Mark Hemingway, speaker at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th at Concordia University, Chicago.
Just because you read something in black and white does not mean that it's in any way reliable. And in fact, you should probably assume that the default media worldview is hostile to, say, a Lutheran worldview, and act accordingly in terms of verifying that information with multiple sources and using your best judgment in terms of who you trust and who you don't.
You can participate in a Q&A with Mark and Molly Hemingway at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th in Chicago. Attendance is limited. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc. Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Have you ever wished you could see Ad Crusum's products before buying them? Well, now you can. Ad Crusum has opened our brand new workshop in Littleton, Colorado. Come visit us and watch how we make our Christmas ornaments. Check out the quality and fabric of our church banners, or choose some greeting cards, posters, icons, or jewelry. Of course, if you can't make it to Colorado, we are still open online. For details or directions, visit adcrusum.com. That's ADC. RUCEM.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Kevin McGarry is our guest, president of Every Black Life Matters. We're talking about critical race theory. So, Kevin, you mentioned American history before. What is CRT's view of Western civilization and of the United States in particular?
That's a great question. Let me give you an example of what happens when CRT infuses itself within museums and history and all of that. So we have some museums that have taken these anti-racist trainings. Now, I'm speaking from experience. I have a friend who is a docent. I won't tell you where, but it's a major museum. They have all American history. One of the first exhibits that she takes people to is the George Washington, Martha Washington portrait. She used to say things like, this is our first president, this is his wife, and this is, you know, he's of course not only our first president, but he's an American hero, the American Revolutionary War, and all of these other great things that she used to say about George Washington. Today, because they have this anti-racism training, she goes to that same portrait and she says, look, this is a plantation owner. This is what white supremacy looked like in the late 1700s, early 1800s. And she's saying things like that. She doesn't get a chance to mention this is George Washington, American Revolutionary hero, and all of those things. She's more mentioning him owning a farm, and they characterize it as a plantation. They characterize it as colonialization, early colonialization in America. That's what it looks like. And the other thing that it looks like is these docents now have to write every week, if you're white, you must write in your journal what racist thoughts and or deeds that you did this week. And if you come to class, it's a weekly thing, it's a weekly Zoom call. If you come to that Zoom call without your journal that you've admitted that you've said racist deeds or you thought racist thoughts, then you are summarily dismissed and you could be fired. So they are actually pressuring people that lack melanin right now to come up with, you know, racist ideas that you had or racist deeds that you've done, basically repent at the altar of this sort of woke anti-racist training, and admit your guilt every single week. They have to do this. So this is how it looks.
Why has CRT taken hold in education seemingly so quickly?
Well, I think we have to realize that Marxism has been sort of growing over the past several decades from K to 12 and certainly at our college levels. This is just another way now to actually increase the momentum and velocity, if you will, of Marxism throughout. They know that if they can actually brainwash our children early, you know, K to 12, then that will make it easier for them to sort of stick to a CRT or critical race theory framework as they get older. And so they've actually accelerated it down in our lower grades now in a big way. Then you have people like Black Lives Matter. They have actually training curriculum. It's been adopted in Seattle, Washington, and other places across the country. They actually teach these things K through 12, and they're teaching all of the fundamentals of critical race theory, oppressed, oppressor sort of dichotomies that they're going through in some detail at age-appropriate levels, but they're basically making the point that America is not a free and just society. It was based on taking land. It was, you know, basically colonialists and plantation owners who started the country, and slave owners. And these are the people that need to be rejected at all costs, because things haven't really fundamentally changed. They're still the oppressor class. And this is how they sort of get that messaging through to even our youngest that are going through K-12 school even at this point.
You had mentioned that example a few minutes ago, but talk a little bit more about CRT in the workplace.
Yeah, so CRT in the workplace, you know, I think that we all have to sort of take the blinders off and be thoughtful, be logical, and be prudential even while we're working next to our colleagues and friends. As we see some of our corporations and some of these work environments adopt anti-racist training, and we have these trainers come in and talk in ways that pit one against the other strictly based on the color of your skin, we need to push back. This is happening everywhere. Coca-Cola had a controversial, you know, some of their training leaked out recently where they said, try to be less white, as if there's some fundamental whiteness gene that asserts superiority and asserts an oppressive type mindset onto other people. And these are the types of things that we have to be aware of, that we should really push back and say, look, you know, let's really think about what Dr. Martin Luther King really admonished and encouraged us to do, which is to only accept one another based upon the content of our character. Let's move away from this gross generalization that because I may lack melanin or I may have a little more, a little less than other people, that somehow then forces me to be characterized as an oppressor or even oppressed. Just because I'm black doesn't mean that I'm oppressed in any meaningful way. Blacks have opportunities just like other races have opportunities. And I think the statistics bear that out. So let's move beyond that. Let's talk about interracial healing, real reconciliation, real unity, and try to do more together than try to figure out ways to separate and divide from each other.
Is CRT already too institutionalized to stop?
No, it's not. So first of all, I'm going across the United States, myself and my co-founder, Neil Mileman. We're providing critical race theory training. Basically, we call it Remnant Rising. It is primarily directed at the faith community, but fundamentally, we deconstruct critical race theory, we deconstruct social justice, and we deconstruct liberation theology and black liberation theology, and we provide real solutions for moving beyond sort of these diabolical and insidious mind frames that are being adopted wholly across the United States. It's not too late, but there is a lot of momentum behind it. We cannot take this one for granted. This one is here for a long while. Now, we can push back. We can push back against our employers. We can push back against our pastors and others. We can push back against our friends who would want to force us into these sort of mindsets. But we have to be thoughtful. We have to grow a spine. We have to really stand flat-footed and say, this is not okay. We need to be looking at each other from our character perspective and not from gross generalizations that have to do with melanin. I mean, it's irresponsible for us to act in that way.
How does the average citizen, employee, student resist the forces and the ideas of CRT?
Well, again, I think it's when we see it, when we see things like history being changed, when we see people being canceled for literal no reason, when we see people being summarily dismissed just simply because they lack melanin, when we see these types of things happening in our community, then we need to stand up. We need to be that voice. We need to be that person who says, you know what, this is not okay. We're all American. We happen to live in America now. We're all American. We have the same rights and responsibilities as others. And for you to characterize me as being an oppressor when I don't even know what you're talking about. This is so insane. I can't even wrap my mind around it. We have to do better than this. And I want you to accept me as who I am individually and as a person, and I'll accept you in that same regard. But for you to characterize me in any particular way and generalize me and objectivize me as being an oppressor, and then you victimize yourself as being the oppressed, and therefore you actually gain more benefits or you can actually be listened to and I can't, that's unfair, it's unjust, and it's not what America is really all about. We all need to have a voice. We all need to be caring enough of one another to actually listen and hear one another, and we all should have mutual respect. And it's not about, you know, canceling my voice just because I'm of a particular skin color.
You had mentioned here finally that what we really need is reconciliation, interracial unity. How do we begin to represent the ideas of the classical 20th century civil rights movement today in the atmosphere of CRT?
Yeah, so, you know, first thing I think that we need to do is to understand what critical race theory is and sort of its impacts. We need to commit to ourselves to stand against it when and where we see it. For those corporations that go woke, we need to be activists in the sense that we start to write them and call them and say, look, this is not okay. This is not acceptable. I think the outrage for what happened with Coca-Cola was acceptable. They got a lot of flack for their wokeism. But I think we need to do that consistently. I think we need to push back against our pastors who would say, you know, those white evangelicals, those whites, you know, who did this and that and the other. We need to push back and say, look, these generalizations are unfair. They're racist in the sense that they're, you know, you're castigating an entire group of people just strictly based on skin color. They do not take into consideration anyone's character. And these are anti-civil rights, anti-Dr. Martin Luther King, what we fought so hard for so many years. We're slipping back and we're going to be segregated and divided if you continue this. So we need to continue to push back on that, and we need to be trained about what CRT is and how it shows up and how to more appropriately speak against it as we see it. But I think we can push back. I think we can stem the tide, so to speak. But it is going to take an awful lot of resolve from all of us. We have to be committed to standing against it. We cannot succumb to it. If we bow to it and try to appease them, we have to understand that the other side is insatiable. There is no appeasement. Once you're canceled and you try to apologize, guess what? They double down. There is no way to appease the other side. So we must stand against it. And when we stand united and stand together, we can defeat this. But it is going to take quite a bit of education and quite a bit of time.
Kevin McGarry is president of Every Black Life Matters. He's chairman of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of California and author of the book Just, Justly, Justice. You can purchase this book and learn more about Every Black Life Matters at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Kevin, thank you again.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. God bless you.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss what I wish my non-Lutheran family members knew about confession and absolution with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We'll talk with Dr. John Bombaro about the Annunciation of Our Lord, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Elijah and the prophets of Baal from 2 Kings chapter 18. Just contrast this hateful ideology of critical race theory that pits man against man with the idea that is in the center of the Christian faith, that God became man to bear the sin and work for the salvation of all men and to restore all men to the image of God. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood. Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.